say praise the Lord, if you break it down, you know what that means? You're telling the Lord, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord. I'm all in. Well, we've had church already, haven't we? We could go home, or we could go eat Bob's meatballs and spaghetti right now, and we could say we had a wonderful service. Well, before I get started, I just want to say that, I mean, the power of prayer is unbelievable. It is believable. In our natural mind, it's unbelievable. But with the mind of Christ, it's very believable. Betty prayed for me just before the service, and I'm telling you what, that was a powerful prayer, Betty. I mean, I started weeping. I mean, she started praying in the spirit, and she's a strong lady. I mean, she grabbed me and wasn't going to let me go. Thank you, Betty. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, let's pause for a word of prayer, Lord. Lord, we just sense your presence in a mighty way here today, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne and that you are in control of everything. Just like your message today is going to prove that you are the Almighty God. And that, Father, it is just such an honor to be your son and your daughter, Lord. And we just thank you for everything, Lord. And we just thank you for the rest of the service. And Father, I just pray that you give me the right words to speak forth, and that the ears and the word falls on fertile ground, Lord. In Jesus' name. Okay. Well, I just felt I was going to say something about 2013, you know. And we talked on the radio program about that this last Wednesday, and that is, try to make 2013 the best year yet. Try to do that. It's a choice, you know, and hopefully you're going to get something for some ammunition for that. But I did a lot of reading, and these are some things that people have said. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord from me, because I didn't receive them. But hey, if it happens, praise the Lord, because it's all good. Many things have been prophesied, and one of them is spiritual change is coming. There will be an increase in angelic visitation. We'll take that, won't we? There's an increase in God's favor. We can always use some of that, or a lot of it, Cynthia, a lot of it. I'll take a lot of it. The power of God will manifest in a mighty way this year. Yes, amen. Believe it. Yes. Sons and I like this one because I claim this one for my family. Sons and daughters will come home this year.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. But I have good news for you today, no matter whether any of those come to pass or not. God is still in control. He has a plan for your life, and it's for good, not evil. And he is ordering your steps each and every day. Our call is not to give ourselves over to fear, doubt, and unbelief, but to righteousness, peace, and joy within us. We're going to be coming out of Habakkuk or Habakkuk. I've looked it up. It's either one's acceptable. So however you say it, you're right. Habakkuk is a real dichotomy. He's like us. He's walked the same walk we're walking, and and, you know, there's two things about him, and I'm going to go over a couple of those. First of all, he went from fear to faith. He went from worry to worship. He went from questioning God to trusting in God. He started out as a complainer, ended up as a conqueror. And that is available to all of us. The name Habakkuk is embrace. And I studied further into it. It says, embrace the rock. And we know who the rock is. And when God knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, he knows it all. And you'll see here how Habakkuk embraces the rock. He was wrestling with a lot of different issues of the day, and he was a little, I don't know, probably upset with the Lord. I mean, we can be a little upset with the Lord from time to time because, like I said, he started out questioning God, but the ending is so much better than the beginning. And it says that, "How, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you do not hear." You think God has hearing problems? No. "Or cry out to you of violence, and you will not save." You think God wants to save? Send his only begotten son. I'd say that's proof enough on that. Well, it sounds like he was pretty frustrated and impatient with God. I think we've all, if we want to be honest, we've all been there. After Habakkuk complained to the Lord, he didn't get real good news in the beginning because the Lord says, "I'm sending the Chaldeans." Well, let me tell you just a little bit about the Chaldeans. They're a bitter, impetuous nation who marches through the breadth of the earth to take possession of dwelling places that do not belong to them. The Chaldeans are terrible and dreadful. Their justice and dignity proceeds only from themselves. That sounds like bad news, doesn't it? It's not. Believe it or not, if you read the bottom of your Bible, you're going to see a lot of bad news about it. But I'm telling you, you know what the word Chaldean stands for? Clod breakers. Clod breakers. Wow. Okay. We're going to run with that for just a second here. The Lord sent the Chaldeans knowing how violent and bad they were going to be to the people. Why? Do you believe God would send anything into your life that wasn't ultimately for your good? It said God sent them, not the devil. I mean, read it there. I mean, this isn't a message on the devil. You're not going to hear that come out, okay? This is a message saying the Lord sent the Chaldeans. Why? He wanted to break up those clods and, well, let's talk spiritually in our lives. Have you ever done any gardening? I know Margaret's done some gardening. Some others have done gardening. Well, if you're going to set up a row of green beans or whatever, you're going to have to kind of dig a, what do you call it?
Furrow.
Okay. Well, when you're digging it out and you push it off to the side, what do you see? Bunch of clods. Whole bunch of clods. So, guess what? You can't plant anything in a clod. God can't use a clod. Okay? Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus saith the Lord." Whenever it says that, I pay extra attention. "To the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Sow not among the thorns." And then we know in the parable of the sower about the seed, you know, getting mixed with the thorns and all that. Jesus said, "The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of the life, of this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." So anything that chokes out the word is represented as the thorn. Anything that keeps you from fulfilling God's word is a thorn. And we got to rip those out of there And that's a violent act. That's not just going over there and just, you know, picking and choosing. You go in there and you get them out. And if you're a true gardener, you hate thorns and you hate anything that's going to keep the crop from growing. So you're in there and you're like, I got to get these out. In Hosea 10:12, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Well, that's a good sowing and reaping lesson there, isn't it? Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So you want those Chaldeans broken up, don't you? I don't think God says, I'll do all the work. You know, when you go out in the garden, it's a lot of work. I know Julie and I put a little garden in last. I mean, it was a lot of work keeping the deer out of it and everything. I mean, not just planting it, but actually growing it and keeping the animals from eating it all. It's a lot of work. The earth is hard, but the treasure is worth the effort. Okay, I'm going to go to John 15:1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know what the word husbandman means? Sod breaker. God, I'll tell you what, I had chills when I saw that. Just a little thing that God, you know, he'll give you a little kiss, you know, and say, I'm going to give you a little treat, you know. And I said, oh, man. I mean, because I had no idea. I knew that it was the gardener, but I didn't know it represented clod, or what did I say? Sod. Yeah, not clod, but sod breaker. Okay. Okay, James 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit out there of the earth, and hath long patience for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for having long patience, yes, for me especially, Lord. Until he received the early and latter rain. Yeah, that's... Look at the harvest. Look at what we have to look forward to. What a wonderful, bright future we have. There's no harvest without first breaking the ground. And the deeper you go, the deeper God goes, sorry, but it's true, the better the harvest. Whatever is in our heart, Lord, take it out. That's not of you. Just take it out, you know. Just bring the Chaldeans, whatever. Break up that fallow ground. If you're willing, he will do it. He will do it. It is a choice. Just like most of the things we talk about up here, you can choose to not allow it. You can choose to just stay in whatever state you're in. But I can tell you, there's such a blessing, as you can see. The early and the latter rain, it's coming. For fallow ground, I wanted to just take a second on that. And it's unusable and unused. I know it sounds like it's redundant, but it's different. It's undeveloped and inactive, but potentially useful. It's potentially it's there. Everything you need is there to grow a garden, but it requires some work. It requires breaking up those clods. Come on in, Chaldeans. You know, we got to break those clods, you know, and make that fertile ground deep so that a deep root goes down. And it has been protected. Fallow ground has been protected from the shock of the plow and the agitation of the farm equipment. I mean, this is off of farmer's website or something, you know. And I was going, oh, okay, there's good analogy there. Agitation, okay. Plowed ground experiences the travail of change. Again, this was out of the farmer's website. I'll say that again. Plowed ground experiences the travail of change. It has been upset, bruised, and broken. But it finds the rewards of the plow in the new life that it produces and in the fruitful harvest. Okay, let's go to, I've got an illustration for you. Can I have my actors come forth? Actresses and actor? Okay, Kathy, can you right here, facing just right where I am right here. Okay? Okay? Mm-hmm. Clyde?
Okay.
Y'all know the scripture, Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, that's the enemy over there. This is us right here, and Clyde's the Lord.
Of course.
Okay. I guess you heard what Debbie said. Okay. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. What do you see right now? Do you see an enemy anywhere lurking around?
No, I can't see the enemy.
Why don't you just try to peek around and see if you can just peek around there and...
Nope.
Okay. The bottom line to this is we have to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
If we fix our eyes on Jesus, guess what? The enemy has nothing in us.
Yes.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I even gave you a nice romantic moment, didn't I? Let's hear it for our actors. Hey, Mike, I got to admit, she looks pretty rough, man. Woo! Guys. Amen, brother. Yeah. Pardon?
I'm covered.
Okay. You got your eyes on the Lord, don't you, brother? Okay, let's say this one more time because I'm going to change it just a little bit. You give me a chance to change a comma. Will you let me do that? Okay. Okay, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Okay? Let me change the comma and hear how it reads. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. Just a different take on it. I like the idea of the Lord just in power. I mean, what's a flood? A flood, a deluge. It's powerful, man. It sweeps through, and if it's not pounded down, it's gone. And God wants to flood us with his presence. He wants to flood us so that whatever's not nailed down because it's the on the rock, then it goes. Sweep right through. You've seen the pictures of a flood, man. I mean, it just causes destruction. Well, that's the kind of destruction we want. We want that destruction. We want to take the haywood and stubble. He brings fire and he brings water. Okay, fire for the haywood and stubble and water to clean it out. To get rid of it. Move it out of here. So, in another scripture I have to read because it just shows the awesomeness of God, and that's Psalms 29:10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. That's someone you can trust. That's someone you can actually, no matter what, give out. Like I said, praise the Lord. All in, man. All in. 100% in. Okay, through you we push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. There's just so many, you know, you say, well, what's the enemy? You have to define that. Who's your enemy? What's your enemy? I mean, it's usually the old expression, you know, I've looked at the enemy and what's that expression? It's me, you know, and... I mean, there's the enemy could be a sickness. The enemy could be whatever. I mean, it's just what you fill in the blank and know that if you keep your eyes affixed on Jesus, I mean, I'm telling you, there's sickness and yeah, there's this, that, and the other. But the bottom line, it's your attitude. It's how you're going to get through. You know, like I was talking with Marge. You know, she's got a great attitude, and you can see she's sitting in church. She's going through it. How many people haven't done that, gone through what Marge is in, and they just sleep and hang out in the house all day long for weeks and months and whatever? And so the right attitude will get you through these difficult situations. If we do it the Lord's way, we're victorious. If we do it our way... We know what happens. Why do they call it spiritual warfare? Fear the Lord, not your enemies. Okay, back to Habakkuk. Lord, then, after the clod breakers came in, and I, as soon as I heard that, I wanted to make it Clod Busters and say, who are you going to call? Clod Busters. Now, if you're under 40, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. So, then the Lord answered Habakkuk and said, write the vision. Without a vision, people perish. He says, don't just have the vision, write it. Write it down. Are you journaling? Write stuff. I mean, I'm sure you're all like me. Lord speaks to me something. It's great and it's awesome. And I go, I'll write it down in a little bit. And it goes. He might bring it back and he might not. I've started keeping, Julie bought a bunch of notebooks. And I just have a notebook pretty much everywhere in the house. And so... I try to write down. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Amen. He may run who reads it. Just like those who wait upon the Lord. You're not going to be weary. You know, those who run won't faint. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Don't lose hope. It's there. It's been prophesied over to you. You know it. It's been confirmed many times. Don't lose that vision. But at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. And Oscar did a fine message on waiting, how... The word wait is twisting, taking, you know, like our Urbana ladies, you know, three-cord rope is hard to break. And, you know, when you're twisting with the Lord, there's more strength. And you can wait longer, and you can be more patient. All the things that, you know, we all tend to struggle with sometimes. Though it tarries, wait for it. Why? Because it will surely come. And it will not tarry. Guess what? God's timing is perfect. Even though we think we know God's timing, ours isn't. Here's a great line. The vision the Lord gives us becomes our trial. The vision the Lord gives us becomes our trial. I'm telling you, that hit me. I mean, I thought, wow, that's just so true. Joseph embraced a promise. A promised word that basically all these people would bow down to him. But that word tried him severely. It tried him severely. I just have so much respect for Joseph. I mean, is there anywhere, maybe you all caught it and I didn't, is there anywhere in the Bible where he complained? If it's in there, I missed it. So I just have the utmost respect for him. But anyway, but that same dungeon that he was in, or I mean, that same word that he was given brought him out of the dungeon and gave him the ability to be ruler of the, you know, second in command of the largest nation in the world, deliverer of his people, and a sustainer of life for probably millions. You know, and then sometimes God's timing's quick. And sometimes God's timing is like Aaron's rod that budded. That was overnight. It grew and had almonds on it in one night. So Aaron didn't have to wait very long for that promise to come true, and there wasn't much of a trial there, and it shut up a lot of people. The Father is creating a masterpiece in you. And, you know, a sculptor requires a lot of chipping away and shaving away and whatever. And, you know, it takes time. And so we are to be patient in that. But he will complete what he has begun. That's a promise. You can take that to the bank, that there will be a day when all the processing, all this is over with. It may be next year. I don't know. I mean, God can do anything, right? In order to have victory or be an overcomer, you have to overcome something, right? You can't be an overcomer if, you know, you're a little baby crawling around and your mom and dad says yes to everything you want to do. You're not overcoming anything. You get everything you want when you want it and with a big smile on the person's face that's given it to you. But there's no growth. There's no maturity. There's no, you're not putting yourself in a position where God can use you. So I want to read this because this is not what it says, but how he says it is my favorite verse in J.B. Phillips. And, of course, most of you know it, but I'm going to read it anyway because it's just awesome. It's James 1, 2 and 8. It says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Wow, Lord, I need your help. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. I guess this part of the message is just to encourage you to really get aggressive. The word encourage means put in courage. So I want to put courage into you. God wants to put courage into you because you need courage. You really do. I feel like the lion on the yellow brick road. Courage. Courage. Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault." I mean, Jesus doesn't mince words on that, does he? "And violent men seize it by force." I love the Amplified. It says, "as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion." We have to put an effort forth. In order to see a mighty harvest, we need to become more aggressive in our warfare. If your life is affected by the outside, then you need to be a more aggressive warrior. If someone can come to you in the grocery store and say something, and you're upset the rest of the day, you got to get your weapons of warfare together, right? And most of it's going to involve getting on your knees. Works without faith or direction from God is dead works. However, faith without works is dead. Dead is destitute of force or power. You've just given up the power that God's given you. You're saying, "Here, I don't want it." Destitute of a life that recognizes and is devoted to God. I know this is kind of a tough message, but this is what he gave me, so I have to let it come forth. How would you describe your warfare? Our warfare cannot be based on fleshly emotions. We have to be warriors who live and move and have our being in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's three stories in the New Testament that are similar but are a little bit different regarding warfare. Oscar mentioned one in Gideon last week. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go, if you got a Bible, turn to this, please. 2 Chronicles 20, starting with verse 12. Now, what I've done here, if anybody wants a copy of it, I don't know, do we have a copy machine that works? But I've basically written down something you could put it somewhere up at the house or whatever, because I am amazed at how wonderfully organized God has set up warfare in this chapter. I mean, it doesn't take anything to do what I did here, because it's just so laid out so perfectly that, you know, but I did was organize it and put eight steps on it. And I'm not big on steps. I really don't even like them, but the way you see this come together, I think you'll understand that this is, you know, something that you may want a copy of. Okay, the Lord is preparing. I'm not going to go into this whole story. I'm just going to hit the highlights. The Lord is preparing Jehoshaphat for battle, right? Everybody knows that story, right? He sends the praisers and all that, right? Everybody knows that. Okay, let's start with verse 12, because the first one that I put down on this list is confess your need for his strength in your weakness. It says, our Lord, you will not judge them, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Number two, our illustration, fix your eyes on Jesus. Nor do we know what to do. Man, we don't know what to do, Lord, but to keep our eyes on you. What's that song, Cynthia? Something about, I remember we sang it, but anyway, it says, our eyes upon you. So the second one, fix your eyes on him, verse 12. Let's go down to verse 15. And verse 15 is, listen for the voice of the Lord. It says, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Listen. If someone says listen, that means there's something that they have to say that hopefully is of importance. So listen is number three. And the old expression, good Lord gave you two ears and one mouth. Okay, you know the rest of it. All right. Number four, do not be afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is the Lord's, folks. And if you want to take that battle up yourself, man, you're going to have a miserable life. I mean, seriously, you're going to be beat up. I mean, like that illustration there. Debbie could not see Kathy. She had her eyes fixed on the Lord. You can't look, I can't look at Cynthia and look back here at this doorway. You know, there is peripheral vision, I understand, but I can't see that doorway, but I can see Cynthia. So if she's talking to me, I can hear what she's saying. So do not be afraid. In 15 it says, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Number five, position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You will not need to fight in this battle. Right there, right there. You want to read it? 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. That doesn't mean you don't have to do something. But as you'll know later on, they did not pull out their swords. No one had a spear. No one had a AK-7 or whatever those things are. Okay, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. That is so important. Position yourselves. Debbie was positioned correctly. Okay? Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. And I might add, in you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Man, when you have that kind of confidence, you can't be afraid, can you? Well, he wants you to have that much confidence that nothing fears you. You know, fear the Lord, fear is torment. Fear of the Lord is wonderful. Okay, number six, prayer, praise, and worship. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah. How much of Judah? All. Every one of them. All means all. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord. This is like that verse, you know, if my land would just humble themselves. You know, look what would happen to this country if we would just humble ourselves before the Lord and worship him and not be afraid of whatever, you know, we could speak Jesus freely and be whatever. I know you all speak Jesus freely anyway, and I do too, because it doesn't matter what the world thinks, right? Okay. Bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. Number seven, and you kind of think it's over at seven, okay? And what's seven? Oscar, what's seven? Divine completion, okay? Seven says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. I'm going to read it again. Believe in the Lord and you shall be established. Once you're established, that's it. I mean, there's nothing more to that. But he put one more in there. And this is so important. And it's also the number eight. And I didn't plan this way, but eight is the new beginnings. Go to verse 30. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. This is after everything went down. Everything went down. It got quiet. For his God gave him rest all around. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest was good for the Lord, so it's good for you too. What kind of rest? You know, we need both kinds. We need spiritual rest and physical rest. But rest in the Lord, which is new beginnings. So guess what? When you're resting in the Lord, I hate to say it, but enjoy that rest for a moment, because there could be a new battle ahead. But guess what? Once you've been through it, all the way through it, I don't want to say it's a piece of cake, but I will tell you this. If you've been all the way through it, you pretty much know what to expect, right? Okay. And then, of course, I had to put this in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The main thing in that is, you know, this is a fight that we can fight on our knees. This is a fight we can do with our praise. This is a fight that we can do with our worship, with our lifestyle, with everything about us, that people see a difference. This person's different. They're not like everybody else out there. You know, they're open. You can come and talk to them. I know you all have different ministries, you know, in your areas and homes, works, whatever. And it gives you the opportunity to, you know, minister to that one in front of you, whoever that person is. Okay, I'm going to close with a couple little things here. I have to finish Habakkuk, okay? You thought I forgot about him, didn't you? I didn't forget about him. Because you know what? This part is, if you don't shout, your wood's wet. If this doesn't bring a fire to you, your wood's wet, right? It says in here, Habakkuk learned his lesson and learned it well. He went from what we said, all the things we talked about in the beginning. He went from fear to faith. He went from worry to worship. He went from questioning God to trusting in God. And he went from a complainer to a conqueror in this scripture right here. Though the cherry trees don't blossom, and for a farmer, that's not good. For the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields stunted, nothing's going right for this guy in the natural. But look what's going on inside of him. Though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns are empty. Here we go. I am singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God. Y'all know that's the message, right? Counting on God's rule to prevail. He will prevail. You can count on that. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm king of the mountain. So Leonardo DiCaprio has nothing on us. You know, hearing this, the world hearing this, they would say, man, this guy needs some serious counseling. I mean, seriously, think about it. I mean, our mind is not the mind of the world, right? They would say, this guy needs some serious counseling. What's wrong with this guy, man? There is nothing in his life that's going well. Why? There's no reason for him to be doing cartwheels. That's true. He is out of his mind. Right? He is totally out of his mind because he has taken on the mind of Christ. You know, he sees things that those other people don't see. God will reveal mysteries. God will reveal things that no one else can see but you, maybe in a room full of people. And if you want that victorious, abundant life, You have to take the mind of Jesus. You have to, or you will go crazy. You will need one of those counselors. You will need a shrink. You will need the medications. You will need all that stuff. Because I'm telling you, it's not easy out there. It's tough. It's a tough life if you choose to live it in the world. I will close with this scripture because I'm telling you this scripture, I just absolutely love it. I'll just read the back part of 27 or 28. It says, I just want you to know that Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus said, I'm not keeping this to myself. I will go over it with you line by line. I will do whatever it takes for you to get a hold of this. Okay? He says, I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Anyone. Is that God calling? Okay, he is, isn't he? If you want to truly understand what it is to rest in the Lord, listen carefully to these next lines. This is Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Please, if you listen to nothing else, this will be a cool, cool drink of water in a very wilderness, desert, deserted area. It says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. He sent a pattern son, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, he shows us what we need to do. It's not a big mystery. Learn, okay, here it is, Clyde. Learn, and Mike, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I want to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That should be in a song. I mean, that is beautiful. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Thank you, Lord. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the word that the Lord gave me. And Jim, if you could be so kind, the song that the Lord kept, an old wings tune. We're going to sing an old wings tune, a cappella. Jim, could you come up? It's on the back wall there. All of you know it that's been here for years. We are victorious. Thank you.
Brother Rich was saying up here. Anyway, we especially want to hear the Wings people because you guys know this one by heart, okay? All right. We are victorious. We shall overcome. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Strength for each trial, hope through every tear, love beyond all measure. With Christ there's nothing to fear. We are victorious. We shall overcome. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And here's a good part in finishing. Heirs of the promise, children of the King, we are His beloved, will freely give us all things. We are victorious. We shall overcome. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Take that song with you through 2013. You'll be okay. Praise the Lord.